We're good?
I'm working now.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and call the meeting to order. If you please stand for the pledge. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, you wanna call the roll?
Mr. Adams?
Present.
Mr. Batzel is excused. Mr. Gibbony?
Here.
Mr. Greiner?
Here.
Mr. Howell?
Here.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Mr. Schott?
Here.
Got a quorum?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Go ahead and read the agenda notes, please.
Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4:00 p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chambers, second floor, located at 110 Southeast Wauwatula Avenue.
Thank you very much. Get right to the consideration of minutes. If everybody had a chance to review those from our last meeting, we have a discussion or motion on that.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. And no further discussion. Call the roll.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Howell?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here. Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Both here and aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. He's awake and here. All right.
Aye here.
We're gonna move this or change it around a little bit tonight. We're gonna skip forward and we're gonna go right to this ZON120011, if that's okay.
He's become a comedian for 2013.
I had to do it, sorry.
We'll work on that stand-up for you.
Like, is that gonna work?
They closed the comedy club.
Obviously, I think I was there the last night, so that closed.
Good evening, this is Patty Hitchcock. On behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department, this is a request to rezone approximately 39.5 acres from OP Office Park to B2 Community Business. Was filed by BBR Development Corporation with Steve Gray as the agent. I just realized I didn't see the...
He's here.
He's here. Okay. Okay, the property is located on the north side of Southwest 42nd Street, west of the new expanded Hawthorne Village Assisted Living Facility. The 42nd Street has just been reconstructed, and this property has approximately 900 feet of frontage on the new four-lane section, but the road curves away from the property, approaching the I-75 overpass. The surrounding area, we have the Lowe's Shopping Center is located to the north and west of the property in shopping center zoning. There's also additional B2 zoning to the north. We have a cardiac office building located in the B2 property and also a number of vacant parcels that are zoned B2. To the east is the Paddock Park PUD, which is zoned PUD09. And directly adjacent to this property, as I said, was the Hawthorne Village Assisted Living Facility. And there are some single-family residences as well to the east. To the south, across Southwest 42nd Street, is the Red Oak Farm. And to the west, we have a water retention area as well as a single-family residence. The area is undergoing... this property was initially zoned to OP Office Park from RO Residential Office in 2005, and there was also a land use designation change at that time to professional services. The land use on this property is going to be low intensity with the adoption of the 2035 Future Land Use Plan, which will allow for a broader range of zoning districts to be applied, B2 being one of those. In particular, with this property in 2006, staff became aware that there were some trees being removed without the proper permits. It was taken before the Code Enforcement Board, and they were found to be in violation. As a result, I did provide to the board a copy of the mitigation and developers agreement, which addressed immediate action with regard to that, having a certified arborist assess the damage and provide remedial treatment. For future development of the property, they're going to be required to provide additional open space, an additional 5% open space, a larger number of shade trees per acre, and they're going to be required to preserve more trees on site than what the code requires as a result of this mitigation agreement. I just want to touch on a couple of differences between the OP and the B2, since we do have some residents, interested parties here for the hearing, in that B2 does allow a much broader range of commercial uses than the OP. OP is office park. And it allows professional business and medical offices. It does allow some commercial uses as accessory to those businesses. In the office park, however, the buildings could be 60 feet tall as opposed to the B2 district, which they may only be 50 feet tall. The setback requirements from any residential district is greater for the B2 zoning. OP development would only be required to set back 4 feet with a wall or 10 feet with landscaping from the adjoining residential area. With the B2 zoning district, they're required to provide a buffer of 10 feet with a wall or 25 feet of a landscape berm as a separation. I took these pictures, I believe this is the city aerial now, this was off of Google Earth. To show the road as it was under construction. You can also see Hawthorne Village, which was under construction at the time. And zooming in a little more closely on the property, this is the area of the residences. This is the subject property here. We've got Lowe's up here. And another close-up of the residential area, so you can be a little more familiar with it, as I expected there may be some residents in attendance this evening. This is Hawthorne Village in this area. Staff recommends approval of the rezoning to B2. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for staff?
Isn't there a wall between the
paddock villas?
Paddock villas,
yes, sir.
And the property?
Yeah, there is an existing wall that was put in by the residential developer.
Okay, and how do you know how high that wall is?
6 feet, I believe.
And masonry?
I think it's the panel fence, panel
okay.
wall.
How many other 40-acre B2 sites do we have in the city?
I don't know that offhand.
That seems pretty large.
It is a large site. I mean, typically a shopping center would be on approximately 20 acres. There are the properties. We have B2 in this area.
Sorry, I don't have glasses on.
Yeah, to the north.
And as you can see, this is the B2 property, but it's platted in smaller parcels.
Right. I mean, it's in Paddock Park. I mean, it's professional services.
Yeah, this request really was born out of the developer's stated intention of creating a mixed-use development under the existing zoning classifications that we have, and B2 is really the zoning classification that would allow the mixture of residential and commercial and office use to take advantage of some of the frontage along 42nd and then to do some of the mixture of office uses and residential uses in the interior of the site. OP is relatively limiting in terms of the ratio of how much commercial you can do, and it says that it has to be in the interior, so kind of defeated the purpose. So this was the singular zoning district that would allow that. And so
was there any consideration given to applying different zonings to different portions of the site?
It was a consideration, but you know, one of the things that we thought is this is the initial step, and it allows the mixture of uses. It's not, you know, the biggest fears are always, oh, they're going to put something big next to the houses. But I think in this case, the way that it was explained, really that the intent was there was potential for a residential component and some office components at the rear. And so, you know, we felt that with the buffer requirements that we have in place and the performance standards that would ensure compatibility, that wasn't really an issue, and it could actually be more impacted if it was OP, as Patty stated, that some of the high building heights are a little lower and the setbacks are a little greater.
I mean, that's like a 6 foot and 10 foot difference. I'm not sure how how much that's going to make a residents next door feel better that they have a 50 foot building as opposed to a
visibility is going to be critical for any commercial development. Visibility and accessibility, and with the way the property lies out, with the way the road has been constructed, the road they have about 900 feet of frontage, but the road veers away at about this point. It's almost the midpoint of the property. So I would anticipate that any commercial development is going to be focused down in this lower quadrant of the property in order to maximize its visibility. Any residential or office additional components would be on the remainder of the property.
Right. Well, I mean, you have an independent living facility.
Yes.
Basically to the east. I mean,
right here.
Yeah, that's basically a residential. I mean, that's residential.
It is.
So, I mean, they'll be heavily impacted by pretty intensive commercial uses too.
Well, we don't know what the commercial use is, but it's not unusual to have multifamily, independent living, or assisted living facilities within walking distance to a commercial center.
One of the things, the other thing is, on 40 acres and in mixed use, the walkability, and you know, this is consistent with 2030. With the vision plan, that we would have the ability to walk. People actually walk or not is up to people, but that it would be mixed use, and you'd have some opportunity to walk and use, you know, have trips other than vehicular trips provide access to some of these developments.
Patty, what is the pending parcel west of this one? What's it?
They haven't applied for a zoning application.
Okay.
Quite often when property is annexed, they may not even ask for land use at the time. And so on our mapping for that purpose, it doesn't have a zoning district.
Okay. So it's not a pending action. It's just
no, there isn't unstated. Anything that's going to be coming in the near future on this property. On
is that a single family residence there now, currently?
That's, yeah, that's okay. What it is right now.
And it's occupied, inhabited.
Yes.
Right. Okay. What, I mean, as a B2, what is the worst case scenario intensity wise, trip wise, noise wise? What is
say shopping center is likely going to be the.
Okay, but they couldn't do a large big box in B2, right?
They'd have to come back. If they did a shopping center, they'd have to come back and go through the public hearing process.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And you know, all of the things that you're concerned about would be discussed. Mm-hmm. That's the most intensive potential use.
Well, just being a straight zoning, if this were a PUD, we could discuss and even negotiate, you know, certain restrictions or.
Right.
But it's not a. So it's just a straight zoning. We couldn't say, Okay, with a condition of no buildings over a certain height with, you know, on parcels around the border of the property, something like that, but we can't do that in this case, right?
Yeah, not, we didn't contemplate doing that. I don't think you could do that. I guess there's an instrument that you could do that with, but, you know, it was our feeling that.
Well, after having, yeah, after hearing some of our questions, maybe Mr. Gray will have enlightened us some more on it.
Taking that one step further, if we did, let's just say, approve the B2 zoning, whatever came back, would we have, would the site plan come back and for, before us, before anything got done, or is that just?
No, if they were to come forward with a shopping center, they would need to come through to rezone to shopping center.
Okay.
But that's the only way that this would return to the board. Otherwise, site plans are reviewed by staff.
Yeah, the thing that would come back to you is a plat.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing that if it's not done as a single development, if it's platted, the plat will come back for you.
Right. But if they're, like you were saying, they were planning on doing a mixed-use type of situation, you know, so that would never come back in front of us if they decided to do some kind of commercial in the front, residential in the back, offices, you know, type, I mean, we would never see it again.
If they have a residential component, that will come back to you.
It's a special exception.
Okay.
Is it a public hearing or a special exception?
Yeah, Board of Adjustment, I'm sorry.
It'd go to Board of Adjustment. It'd go back before public, into another public hearing.
If they, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you there?
No, go ahead.
If they decided to do multifamily, what would be, what is the future land use currently now?
It's.
Professional services?
In the new.
It will be low intensity.
Under the new type of land, it's low intensity, which allows a maximum density.
B2 allows a maximum density of 20 units per acre, I think.
Okay.
OP allows 12.
When we go south across the street, are we in the county?
No.
No, what's that currently then?
I believe that is also pending.
Yeah, it's got its land use, and it's either gonna be low intensity or neighborhood.
But it'll more than likely be commercial components along the south side of that street.
Yeah, the south side, and that's what I was gonna say, there's, the plan would, I think that we gave a commercial land use there originally on the, it's a little bit farther to the east.
Yeah.
This piece, I think, it's still pending, the zoning is.
Yes.
So Pete, in the vision plan, you've got spots of commercial along Osceola Parkway?
Yeah, low intensity, remember, is a mixed-use classification, but it's the, it allows commercial. Now, when we go west of, or when we go back to the east of 27th Avenue, you know, the only place for mixed use that I know of is farm.
Stolen Hours.
Okay, there we go.
And after that, it's all residential.
What is the density of the Paddock Villas here? Now, it says on the zoning map, PUD 9 across the street, but I guess that is a part of it.
You know, I used to know the number of units in there.
It looks like there's more than 9 per acre, but I'm not.
You're talking about Paddock Park?
No, the villas, the single-family product directly adjacent to the east. I want to say it was PUD 8.
Okay.
But I'm not positive of that.
Okay.
It may not have been.
Any more questions for staff? Good, okay. Is the petitioner here?
Good evening, Steve Gray, 125 Northeast First Avenue, Suite 1, Ocala. I represent the property owner, have represented the property owner since they bought the property. And recall that when the property was assigned, the professional services land use classification, the 42nd Street flyover was not a project. Didn't exist, wasn't funded, was not really probably at that moment anticipated. And that sort of is where we, why we are here. What we want to do, and it's difficult to do within the structure of the city's zoning code as it currently exists, is we want to do a mixed-use commercial project with commercial generally on the front half of the site, the south half, the balance of the site having a mixture of residential and office uses, which I would propose is the right mix of uses in that particular location. And the question is how we get there. The B2 zoning category, and here's another one, but you have to address your decision on what exists in the code now. You know, we're in a process where on the 22nd we will adopt a new future land use map, and unless something strange happens, and that land use map will not correspond at all to the zoning code. So to cover that time period till the zoning code is rewritten, there will be an implementing ordinance also adopted on the 22nd that will give you a whole range of uses within a whole range of current zoning categories that you can use in the new land use categories. This land use classification for this property under the new flume will be low intensity, which is really a mixed use category, and it includes the whole range of commercial, industrial, residential land uses in a low intensity land use classification, in the new low intensity classification, and that's what the implementing ordinance says. But we're really focused on this. We're focused on what would be B2 uses, not shopping center, what would be what I call more classic B2 uses along the frontage of the property, with a mixture of office and residential uses in the balance. And the residential may be multifamily, and that's what we're trying to do here. We do intend to have a residential element, which will bring us back to you for that plan. We could consider doing a commercial PUD with a residential element. Because I think if you look at the map, the problem here is determining what's going to go on the ground. This is more of a, it needs to be designed to fit the adjoining properties. And the two design limitations on what you design in the project are the residential adjoining property, which the neighbors are here from, that's half of the eastern boundary. You then have B2 on the top, and even though it is platted in small parcels, I will point out that that was a partnership that came unglued, and that plat's going to be redone. That was a group of doctors, and that group came unglued, and it's a little bit up in the air, but it is B2 to the north. Basically a shopping center use partially on the north side and then wrapping around the other side. The Lowe's parcel wraps around parts of two sides. We also have an agreement with the city for a full median cut to provide access to this property. That was part of the negotiations of the final access management plan for the 42nd Street flyover. And so the main entrance to Red Oak Farm, the old classic Red Oak Farm, will be on the south side of that full median cut. Currently, if you go out there, you'll see there's two directionals. There's a directional cut for westbound traffic turning into Red Oak, a directional at the same location, a directional for eastbound traffic to turn into this parcel. But when we develop, that would change to a full median cut with, I anticipate, signalized access there. So that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to put commercial B2 uses next to the residential property in the rear. The rear of the property obviously would be used for a combination of our other two uses, which are office and residential. And if you can structure a recommendation to the city council that will allow us to move forward, we can probably live with almost anything that's reasonable.
Good. Any questions for Mr. Gray? We're good.
I will say, I mean, I'm not trying to negotiate against myself. I don't anticipate that you really want us to have 40 acres of B2, and that's not what we intend to have. And we could do a commercial mixed-use PUD, but that's sort of a differential. It's not technically a zoning category, but it has been done. You know, the cities never modify their PUD ordinance, notwithstanding promises to do so for 20 years. And so they don't really have all the different PUDs, but they do have mixed-use PUDs that you can do. To me, this is a mixed-use commercial PUD with an office and a residential element. Normally, the PUDs are identified by the most intensive of the uses. Because I don't think anyone would disagree rationally that 42nd Street is going to have a very high trip volume. If you have a signalized intersection there, you have a commercial use on that side. On the south side of the property, there, the property is the old original Red Oak Farm. It is in the city, and it has currently a land use classification that would allow combinations of offices and high density residential. But I can tell you that we are planning to move forward with some different land use entitlements on that as, you know, over the forthcoming year. And we've already been engaged with city and county on items such as curb cut locations and other access points to the combination of both Red Oak Farm and the current Ocala Stud property, which will be annexed in eventually too. So we're just trying to get to a point where we have a zoning that we can make use of and not be sitting here for a year or 2 years or whatever time period it takes for the city to rewrite their zoning code and their land development regulations. In my experience, even though everybody's pretty optimistic you can do it in a year, when you go to rewrite zoning codes and people can actually look at their zoning code and look at the map and say, this is what I'm going to have, the process tends to slow down. It's not as rapid as the process on a comp plan amendment. I can answer any questions. And we also have a design factor here in that we have a small cave opening sort of centered in the property. It's covered in the mitigation agreement, and so we don't have the use of the full 40 acres. We do have extra green space we've got to generate. We have extra tree preservation. Clearly, we can make use of those up in the north, in the northeast end. There is a pretty heavy tree line along that area, and we do not plan to disturb any of that heavy tree line that buffers the residential neighborhood to the east.
Okay, any questions?
Thank you.
Good, thank you. Okay, we're gonna open it up to public discussion now, and I guess before I do that, if everybody notices, we got a couple letters from one that was included in the pack, another one we had up here on the desk. So make note of those. And then open up for public discussion. If you got to say anything for or against, just step forward and state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is James Ann Barber, and I live at 3318 Southwest 39th Street, which is in the Villas of Paddock Park, which is immediately on the northern east boundary of this property. I've listened to this, and it sounds to me like the owner does not have any definite plans other than he wants to open it up to B2, which kind of opens it up to, I don't know what it's going to open up to. Currently, the office park zoning, kind of limits it to the medical park type thing. Perhaps an O1 zoning might even soften it up. You could have a assisted living or something else along with the medical. I don't know exactly what the criteria is on O1. But it seems like without having a plan, and they're already talking to county about curb cuts and things like that, it seems like it would be maybe not a good thing to just give them a blank check on this zoning thing. So I would definitely be opposed to giving them a blanket B2 on the total 40 acres. Not opposed to any development. Development in a sensible way makes a lot of sense. We live on the south side of Villas of Paddock Park, and the Hawthorne Village development out there was very nice. We like it. It's been an improvement. If they could maintain something like that around the rest of it, it would be ideal. On the north side, we have the Heart Center that's mostly parking with large oak trees that border that. And that once again, is very acceptable because it's quiet. There's no noise, no traffic, and so forth. Your question about the fence, the wall on the west side of our park, which would be the north, the east side of the proposed 40 acres, that wall currently about halfway, starting from the south end, is concrete block on a footing. From about midway to the north part, it's just posts with that concrete type thing, which will have to be replaced eventually. So as a member of the board of the Paddock Park, we know that that's part of our budget to replace that wall at some time in the near future. But as far as just without any definite proposal, I mean, if it was me, I'm also a general contractor, so I understand the process of how you have to get a permit and have to do everything. And it seems to me that without coming in with a specific plan and say, well, we propose this, we propose that, with no definite thing, seems like it would be maybe a little bit premature to change the zoning on 40 acres just for something like that. So I would appreciate it if you just consider that. And I'm sure you've already done some research on this, but I thank you for your time, and that's kind of my position at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Antonovich. I live at Southwest 3840 Southwest 33rd Terrace, and that is part of the Villas at Paddock Park. And my particular house backs right up to that wall that separates. I'm on the west side of the property, and it backs up to that northeast corner of the proposed zoning change for the 39.5 acres. This is kind of new to me. It's the first time I've ever been to a zoning meeting, and I fully expected the gentleman who represented the owner of the property to come here this evening with a comprehensive plan, a usage plan to what they were going to do with the property, so that you could make an informed decision about, you know, what's going on here. And quite honestly, I'm surprised. I mean, I get the feeling, and it scares me, that I could walk out my back door, and I, when the gentleman mentioned multi-use, or I mean multi-family, I don't know, does that mean apartments? So I'm going to walk out and be staring at some apartments, or who knows what. It would just seem to me that if they want you to approve or recommend for approval this zoning change, that a comprehensive plan of some type should be in order. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Camille Chartier. I'm also a resident at Villas of Paddock Park, 3323 Southwest 38th Street, and also on the board of directors, and on the board of directors for Paddock Park. We don't have another representative here tonight to speak for the park, but I am sure that they would concur with me, the other members of the board, that we would agree that the gentleman that presented his case this evening should have had a more comprehensive presentation. I would hope that you would consider getting something like that from him or them before drawing your conclusions to turn this into a B2. I'm wondering, when he says residential, is he talking about high-rise, not high-rise, but, you know, as Mr. Antonovich just said, apartments. How many? We have a situation already with the assisted living next to our development, where their lights sometimes bothers our residents whose homes are on that side. So if we're going to have apartment buildings, we may have the same kind of thing, or the sounds from the children playing or whatever. At any rate, basically, I do believe we need to hear more detail about what they plan to do with this property. I'm sorry to be redundant and repetitive, but I feel that that point really needs to be made. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Kimberly Floyd, 3824 Southwest 33rd Terrace. I'm going to have to reiterate what my neighbor said, because I planned on coming and seeing a more comprehensive plan, and I'm a little baffled that there's not. You know, that concerns me greatly as a resident, and especially a resident whose property backs up directly to the 40 acres that are in question. You know, I think that to give someone a blanket B2 because it is so broad, it concerns me, because there are residential as well as the assisted living facility that's adjacent to this property. You know, I mean, who's to say right now that the owner gets the B2 and turns around, and because that 40 acres has the B2 zoning, they don't turn around and sell 30 acres. It's already got the B2 zoning. I mean, I heard the staff say, well, in talking with the developer, this is what they're talking about. Well, you know, conversations change. Situations change. You know, like I said, I don't want to be redundant, but I have to agree with my neighbors in that I have great concern over the fact that, you know, that a B2 zone is going to be given on a 40-acre tract that butts up to residential and assisted living, and no one knows for sure what's going on those 40 acres. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close off the public discussion portion and bring it back up to the board. First off, Pete, maybe you can answer this question better than I can, but can you explain kind of the process of how you go through getting the zoning and the land use, and then, you know, without necessarily having to have a site plan or things like that? Or
we have to have site plans to develop the property.
Right, to develop the property, but as far as, you know, bringing something to this meeting, you know, as we're voting on a zoning change.
They were asking for a comprehensive plan of right. everything, and maybe explain.
And yeah,
that's not how it's done.
Yeah, the general way that this is done is that you make a determination that the zoning classification is compatible with the surrounding area.
Right.
And you know, that takes into account the full, I suppose, the full gamut of development possibilities within that zoning classification, though clearly not the intent here, that it is the only district that can be utilized for mixed use, and it's been done before that way. So you get your zoning, and then the next step would be, in the development plan, would be subdivision. They could, as Mr. Gray stated, they could use some type of PUD, mixed-use PUD, or commercial PUD that could be used for portions of the property. And once it was subdivided, it could be developed, you know, by right. For the things that are allowed in B2, the things that are that go to public hearing would, like the residential uses, would have to go to a public hearing. It would be the Board of Adjustment for a special exception.
Right, but generally when we're deciding on a zoning, you know, the site plan or...
Right, and there's no requirement for a master plan for a rezoning to B2.
Right. I mean, obviously that's a consideration, but right. It's not required.
It's not a requirement.
Right. Okay, just want to get that kind of clear, even though I probably muddied it up even more. But all right, bring it back up to the board again. Any discussions?
Do you want to ask if the applicant would respond?
I could. Yeah, Mr. Gray, did you want to...
I understand everybody's desire for certainty, but as we know, the normal process is you would at least go through the zoning stage, and we always run into this problem. I have a suggestion as to a possible semi-solution here, is that we want to generate B2 usage on roughly the south half of the property. But at the same time, move forward, and this needs to be a coordinated project, not a strip of retail on the front. It needs to be done as a plan. We could do it, and your concern is you giving me or giving us a B2 zoning, and then we just never see us again. One thing we could do here, and we did this on the Belchase subdivision a long time ago. You could recommend to City Council that if we agree to do this as a commercial mixed-use PUD, with a combo of uses, that with a limitation that the B2 uses would be on the south part of the property only, you could recommend to City Council that seemed logical if we entered into a Chapter 163 development agreement that locked us in, that we had to develop the entire 40 acres as a coordinated project, a PUD, a mixed-use PUD, and we would only have the B2 uses on the retail uses of B2 on the south side of the property, the south half.
Steve, could you do that as an amendment to the existing development agreement?
Yeah, we could. Well, the existing development agreement is a little bit of a mitigation agreement, but we could amend it.
I mean, rather
we could
than...
amend the existing development agreement. This property owner is just trying to work in through the system. In that case, these people would see a much more defined plan when we came in with the PUD plan, because it would identify exactly what use is going to go adjacent to their property, which I understand the concern there. And it would identify the limits of the what people think of B2, the retail uses. And I think it probably is maybe the better way to do it in the context of the current city zoning code.
Yes.
Steve, the reason why you would prefer B2 on the northern part of the property is because of the what?
It's the only single zoning code right now that truly has the ability to do mixed use.
Well, okay.
Offices.
Well, what I was thinking, it's a large enough piece of property, you could have several zoning classifications in there. Is that?
Well.
And I'm just, because you're much more aware of what you're looking for and everything. But if we're talking about any of the commercials and everything, commercial use and being on the south side, you know, I mean, what are the options of, say, only B2 on the southern portion, and then on the northern portion have some other type of zoning classification. Does that help any?
Well, here's the problem. You know, whenever you do these block locations,
they're very inflexible.
They're inflexible. You're sitting on a hard line, and when you go to design, we're designing around a cave opening in the middle. Whenever you have those, we've always had problems that inevitably somewhere your lines are a problem. And that's why the B2 was picked, because that is the only zoning category in the current city zoning code that you could get a mixture. Now the other, so, you know, among other things that to try to work around the problem and do the same thing that you're talking about really, is we could agree to enter into, modify the development agreement so that, this would be your recommendation, I guess, if you thought this was a good idea, we could modify the development agreement so the B2 zoning, we would only have retail and what I call the classic B2 uses on the south half of the property. The north half of the property would have office and residential uses as permitted under the B2. And I think all of us know, if we sit here and I tell you we would do the south half in classic retail, and the north half in multifamily and office, but if it's done as a PUD, it comes back to you, and I suspect I know exactly where you would want us to put the office element of that project.
Our existing PUD districts give you that kind of latitude because of the constraint on either the amount of curb commercial is not going to allow you the classic retail uses.
Well, but you're looking, you know, the problem is the existing districts, and this is the whole problem. I mean, really, it's not a very good PUD code. The existing districts really contemplate doing the PUDs under residential land use classifications, and they have a cap of 20% of the gross area for commercial uses. On top of that, this has been ignored by all of us for years. It talks about the commercial really being internally oriented to serve the PUD. That's why I had suggested maybe if, I mean, you could decide tonight we don't want to deal with anything on the north half of the site, in which case it would be retail services on the bottom, 01 remaining on the office park remaining on the north half. That's a way to get there, and then if we came up with a better plan or worked our way through the code or with a development agreement, come back on something else.
That's what I was thinking. If you support the concept of the mixed use under the B2 zoning district, but provide some further guidance by amending the mitigation and developers agreement as to where those various use components would be located on the property.
That's an option we have here tonight.
Yeah, we start to skirt off the close to contract zoning.
What I heard from the audience.
If the applicant has recommended it, I don't think it's appropriate.
What I heard from the audience was a concern about the protection of their neighborhood, which takes up about, one-eighth of the circumference of the property?
Right, the north half of the east boundary.
And we've got a, as you called it, a mediation agreement that basically says this piece of property has to have more trees on it, more green space on it because of past transgressions. Is there a reason we can't just simply play with the setbacks in the mediation agreement from the residential and solve the problem and give you the B2 going forward to give you the flexibility you need and give them the protection they need for their neighborhood?
We might be able to, it's a mitigation agreement. It's a mitigation agreement, but and the client complied immediately with all the terms of the agreement. It was a sort of a snafu on the clearing of the property, but that's really what we're we're trying to determine how to get to a point, I think, where we don't intend to put B2 retail uses next to these people's residences. We don't intend to touch the existing tree boundary, and we intend to move some of that extra green space and extra trees in that area.
But I guess that would be my point. If we can resolve their concern of the impact by putting into the mitigation and developers agreement a setback related to their development, which would potentially allow you to just move your green space when you're moving pieces around up to that area, we may be able to give you B2 and let you do what you need to do on the property.
I think that would involve, if we went that direction, that would probably involve our... Can you give me one minute just to talk
Absolutely.
To Mr. London, who's been more engaged with Mr. Berrios than I have on this particular...
I'd like to actually go to the request and discuss the request for B2.
Okay.
If that's okay. I mean, that's kind of a digression. We're already changing requests and buffers and all that sort of thing, and we have a request in front of us. And you know, the bottom line is that this, you know, the village there, nice compact development. It's across the street from multifamily. It has apartments already across the street from it. It's north of a very large, which has just been expanded, you know, ALF facility. It's got a Lowe's shopping center on one corner of it and an undeveloped PUD on top of it, you know, to the north of it. And really, B2 is community business. And the uses in the B2 are appropriate transitional uses from multifamily or even compact villas, patio homes, you know, whatever the term is there, between that and going towards the interstate and the more intensive uses there. I'm trying to think what's in the, remember some of the worst, most intensive uses in the B2, and I can't think of any one of them that's not already right there that these folks are facing. So the B2 actually increases the buffer from the OP, what's currently required in the buffer, and so our PUD section of our code is somewhat dysfunctional, and so B2 is really the right zoning. I mean, we have B4 zone go to Home Depot, and that borders on College Park. You pull your head up over the wall behind Home Depot, and you see large single-family residences there. You know, they're doing pretty good. I'm not sure how many complaints we've had of noise and problems and that sort of thing. You go to the Lowe's out on East Silver Springs Boulevard, and even while they were building it, they were building single-family residences and selling them like hotcakes. So even we have several sections in town where B4 is developed right next to R1, and we don't have a problem. And so I think a lot of the concern and fear is maybe not necessarily valid, as genuine as I think it is and as honest as I think it is. If you go around town and you see everything else, or even in other communities, you see everything that's developed, it's completely consistent with what is allowed in the B2 zone. So I'm not sure that we need to go through all the gyrations. I'm sure Mr. Gray would be able to have 100 more billing hours yet if we go through the PUD, but the B2 couldn't be more suitable for transition to a more intensive development. So.
Okay, but I still would like to hear, you still had a question you'd like to get answered?
Yeah, I mean, my thought is, we've already got an agreement that says you have to have more trees and green space on this property than you otherwise would under the code, so is there a possibility of clustering that around the residential such that you give the people in the audience what they're looking for, and you give the property owner what he's looking for, which is the ability to do a mixed-use development, have it all designated B2.
Right, okay.
I've got a question that sort of goes along with Ted's question. I'd like to know how much green space might be dedicated and wrapped around the cavern or the cave that's there, because that may be where the rub's coming in. They may have X number of acres that we're wanting to tuck back into a corner, but they've got to take X number of acres dead center out of the middle.
Well, I think there are two caves in there.
I
mean, I know there are two caves. I don't know what they're having to protect as far as a buffer around those caves.
But on top of that, I know that they did have to plant more trees because of the trees they took out previously. So they do have to include a lot more trees in there.
The two cave openings, one's in the far northwest corner, one's in the center of the site.
This is a little hard to see. And make a little sense of it. It's called Waldo's Cave or Hitchhiker's Cave. And entrance at the big room and entrance back to the corner. In this agreement.
Pete, while you're looking for that, you want to, can Mr. Gray come up and answer?
Yeah.
Or Mr. London, one of the two?
We would certainly be willing to expand the buffer adjacent to the residential in the northeast to 50 feet. And plant in there there's a limitation. Mr. Kesselring would know it's a 50 foot spacing or 40 foot
shade trees
from existing trees, but we would forest that buffer completely with trees satisfactory to city staff to create what would be a pretty dense buffer, considering that they do have a wall. I think they have a panel wall where it's not concrete wall. They do have a wall, and we would expand the buffer. We could do a radius on the south corner, a triangular radius to give them a little bit more coming down in the south corner.
Well, if we were considering a PUD, we could discuss that. We got a B2 request in front of us.
Well, I mean, if we did that, perhaps you'd consider approving the B2 and with our representation that we'll come bring it back as a PUD.
Or you can modify the mitigation agreement.
That's what I thought we were talking about.
But
yeah.
It's still, it's a B2 with a modified mitigation agreement. But the B2
right.
can't be conditional.
No, it wouldn't, but the agreement's already in place. All you'd be doing is specifying exactly where you were going to, one of the areas that you were going to increase the buffer and plantings, use a portion of your plantings.
Steve, do you think you could have that language by the time it goes to City Council?
Sure. We could generate a draft and provide it to the residents.
Yeah, which is like three weeks or something like that.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to make a motion that we approve the B2 request. So that can be either not seconded and die, or it can be seconded and voted down.
Okay, so you just want to make a straight recommendation on approving the B2?
Approving the B2.
Okay. You got a motion on the floor?
I'll second for discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we got a second. So,
I don't disagree with the B2, but I'm not sure that it would be inappropriate for us to go ahead and attach the recommendation to the city council that at that time they review a modified developer's agreement that would identify the buffers where the additional trees are going. And whatever additional information could be provided as far as where the uses are going to occur on the site.
Is that appropriate, Pete?
I'm sorry?
Is that appropriate?
I think so. I think that we can do that.
So okay. I guess I'll move to modify the motion with that additional language.
Can we do that, or we need a vote on the actual, since we have a second?
It's a friendly change.
I'm not in opposition to the concept or the principle of it. I'm simply saying I think we're off track legally with what our limitations are as a zoning board. So that's all I'm saying. So
you don't approve of him modifying your motion?
I mean, I'm not in disagreement with Andy. I'm just
looking at the technicality of what
gets reviewed. If this thing ever gets challenged, then you know we want to have done what's right. So
okay. Well, staff is telling us that we can do it that way. So we have to do something.
From a Robert's Rule of Order, if the amendment gets seconded, then you can vote on just the amendment. If the amendment passes or fails, then you vote on the original amendment as it stands or as it is amended.
Okay.
So if he wants to make an amendment, make a motion to amend, then all it needs is a second and approval.
Okay.
So I made that motion.
Okay. So we have a motion to amend.
Right.
So now we need a second on the motion to amend.
Can you restate your motion to amend?
Yeah, that we approve the B2 zone, but by the time it comes before city council, that we have modified language of the existing developer's agreement that identifies the buffer areas, the additional buffers, and to the extent possible, layout plan showing what uses are going to occur.
I would second that.
Okay. All right. So we have a second on that. Did you get all that down? Thank you.
On the recording.
Okay. Okay, so what we're voting on is
just the amendment.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay, so we're voting on the amendment, not the additional.
Right.
Right. Then we have to go back and vote again.
Okay. Right. All right.
Right.
It's an unfriendly amendment to the first motion.
Yeah, I would call it.
But I get it. It's just
what is the amendment? That we're including the
pincers
that were requiring an amended developer's agreement by the time it reached the city council.
That addresses the buffer requirement.
Buffer requirement, where the additional trees are, and the layout plan.
And a layout plan?
To the greatest extent possible.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't have one now. How are they going to have one in 3 weeks?
You don't think that in 3 weeks they can come up with
it? I'm sure they can come up with something.
It's just not legal. It's not zoning. It's not zoning law.
It is legal.
No,
it is legal. You can have a developer's agreement, 163, and you can do it.
Then we vote on the developer's agreement.
This is not a 160. The
mitigation.
Well, mitigation.
Mitigation is not a 163.
Yeah, and I think that we can amend mitigation. We can amend the mitigation agreement to say where the specific planting, some of the specific plantings are going to go, and to what depth. So if you said 50 feet, we could say, here's 50 feet of, and we'll figure out, we'll calculate what the area of that is and how it relates to the additional tree requirements and additional open space requirements, to say that is a part of that requirement specifically listed in here. It's really almost a separate part. It's, and I understand your concern with it. I think that we can do that, though.
Like I said, I'm not in opposition to what you're saying to do. I think we're crossing the line legally. So.
Well,
yeah. I mean, we have a vote. I mean, we have a motion. I mean, I just want to say quickly before we vote that I do not argue first. I can't argue first of all. This is a mixed use site. I mean, when you look at it, that's what it looks like, especially with the completion of 42nd And you can't argue that you already have apartment uses to the east, office uses to the north, and independent living to the south. I personally think, and I can see some retail uses along 42nd. I just don't necessarily agree with B2 on the entire site, mainly because we don't know what is going to happen. I mean, you usually would go into it not knowing what exactly is going to happen, but this is a 40-acre site, not knowing exactly what's going to happen, which is larger than what we usually typically are dealing with. So I have some significant reservation.
Okay. All right, we still have a vote to take. And just to clarify, we're voting on
the amendment.
Okay. So call the roll.
Mr. Kesselring.
Aye.
Mr. Adams.
Aye.
Mr. Gibney.
Nay.
Mr. Howell.
No.
Mr. Schott.
Aye.
Mr. Greiner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. So do we have to go back and vote on the original as well then?
Yeah, the original as amended.
Okay. Okay. Call the roll on that.
Mr. Howell.
It's only 40 acres.
I'll vote aye.
Mr. Kesselring.
Aye.
Mr. Adams.
Aye.
Mr. Gibney.
No.
Mr. Schott.
Aye.
Mr. Greiner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. I guess that's the only thing we had tonight. Ready for the discussion up here?
Make sure to let the people know that this does come before. I know that you said it earlier.
Yeah.
When it goes to city council and whatever.
When's the next city council meeting?
February 5th is introduction. February 19th.
Be the 19th? 19th? Okay. 19th. So the 19th is when this would come up before city council.
The first time they'll just introduce it, they won't discuss it. You can come here, but
so on the 5th it'll be introduced.
Yeah, it'll be introduced on the 5th, and then they'll discuss it on the 19th.
They don't typically hold a public hearing for the introduction.
But a lot of times people still come and listen. Sometimes something will get discussed, but not very often.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Are we done?
We don't have anything.
No. Unless we need to talk about something. Anybody got anything to discuss?
19.
No.
19. Okay. We need the chairman to have a signing statement authority with this stuff, and that would resolve it all. You know, you send up B2 and you simply say, we suggest B2, but we also suggest a laundry list of items that you look at.
Yeah, well, theoretically,
that's what's so messy.
Theoretically, they get the minutes from the meeting, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So
they
read them.
Sometimes
I do.
They've been reading.
I don't know.
Theoretically, they do.
They usually do.
They understand, especially if there's people that are going to have.
Right.
They want to know what the conversation is.
Especially since everybody pretty much brought the same point. So.
Are you waiting on a motion to adjourn?
No. I just was waiting on discussion. So you know, that's part of the agenda. Okay, we're adjourned. I like to get feedback. You know. So.
You're such a great
Mr.
guy.
Mr. Greiner, good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I had to go through number 4, discussion, number 5, you know, next, and then adjournment. I can't skip discussion and go right to adjournment.
I might be quite that anal retentive.
At the beginning. We're going to skip everything else and go right to this.
You're like, I don't know if everybody caught that, though.
I caught it, yeah. I was chuckling to myself.
I had to do it. Even though I probably should have done it when there was nobody here.
Right.
But
That's fine. That's very good. He wasn't objecting either. He was just stating it as a matter of fact.
In that cave, we're going to go back over Roosevelt Cave.